7.
What prophecy?
What two verses?
1 and 2.
Oh, so we're running short of time, so we will do verse 1, and then we'll take one more after this. Yes, the first Noel. Let's go ahead and sing look, verse 6. Let's sing verse 6 together.
Jesus. Last month, my sister and I visited Broner's Christmas store in Frankenmuth, Michigan for the first time. It truly is the most amazing Christmas-themed store. In particular, it had the greatest selection of nativity sets that I've ever seen. At Christmas time, we think about the human birth of baby Jesus. There is the nativity scene with Mary and Joseph, the shepherds with sheep, angels, wise men bringing gifts, all focused on baby Jesus lying in the manger, who is helpless, ignorant, mortal, and dependent on others. But Jesus was more than that. He was God Almighty. Some of the evidence that Jesus was God is this. First, the Bible states in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, Jesus is described as the Word, who was in the beginning with God, that the Word was God, and that all things were made through him, and without him nothing made that was made. In him was light, and the light was the light of men. So in other words, Jesus was God. He existed before the birth by Mary and before the creation of the world. He was God at birth and was the creator of the universe who gave us life that we can enjoy. At age 30, Jesus came to John the Baptist to be baptized, not for repentance of sin, but to be commissioned by the Holy Spirit to start his public ministry. John the Baptist was a witness of this event and states, I saw the Spirit of God descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained on him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Secondly, only God should be worshipped. Throughout the Bible, angels, prophets, and disciples refused to worship because they were not God. But in Matthew, the wise men came with gifts and worshiped Jesus. No angel or heavenly being stopped them. Jesus also accepted worship from his disciples after they saw him walking on water and calming the seas. There was also the woman from Canaan whose daughter needed healing, and she worshiped Jesus. The blind man in Jerusalem, after receiving his sight, worshiped Jesus, and Jesus' followers worshiped him after his resurrection. Jesus never denied worship. Thirdly, only God can forgive sins. No pastor, no priest, no cult leader can forgive me. Jesus forgave sinners. In Matthew chapter 9, there's a story about some men who brought a paralytic man before Jesus to be healed. But before healing the man, Jesus told him, Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. In Luke chapter 7, there was a woman who was a well-known sinner in the community who washed Jesus' feet at a Pharisee's house with her tears and wiped his feet with her hair. Jesus told her, Your sins are forgiven you. Fourthly, only God is worth my worship, is worth living for, is worth following, and worth dying for. Because of his great love for us, he set aside his unlimited power, his authority, his knowledge, and took on the confinement of a human body, a baby, with all its weaknesses, so that our sins would be forgiven and we could become his friends. What a precious God! After the resurrection, Jesus' disciples and countless followers were threatened, imprisoned, tortured, and killed to stop them from proclaiming that Jesus was God Almighty and that the forgiveness of sins and for friendship with him. They had the memories of him. They saw how he cared, heard his teachings, his promises, and saw his love in action. They never retracted their belief in him. So this Christmas, let us remember that the baby in the manger was Almighty God, who chose to be there for you and me.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Fred. I am reminded of the movie The Man Who Would Be King. Sean Connery and Michael Caine, they go to a far-off empire over in Asia, and they are one of them is proclaimed to be king, and he accepts it, and he loves it. He says, man, think of all the good I can do. Paul and Silas went to a town, and they did a miracle through God's power, and they were proclaimed gods. Think of all the good they could do. Think of all the wealth that they could accrue, and they turned it down because they knew they were not the mighty God, only Jesus. Sharon, will you minister to us? Thank you. Sharon for that. So I get to listen to Sharon practice. It's not the same as listening to your kid practice. Although sometimes she does have to go over the same part 47 times to get it right, eh? Duke, share with us what's on your heart.
Jesus, the Prince of Peace. The angel's message was peace to men, if we want it. I have a secret. Can you keep a secret? So can I. Okay, let me start that over. I have a secret. No, it's really more of a memory. It's an old memory. I remember as a young boy, being about 3 or 3.5 years old, and our family went to another family's house after church, and we kids played hard. So hard that the next thing I knew, I was asleep. But how did I know that? Okay, anyways, I was asleep by the time it was time to go. But I remember strong arms picking me up and carrying me. You know, you're mostly asleep, but you realize something is happening. I didn't care where I was going. I wasn't worried about how I would get there, because I knew I was in my Father's arms. I had to care in the world. All would be well. I have another memory, except this one is not mine. It's someone else's memory, but I read it in a book. John Newton, the famous slave trader, turned Christian, turned minister, turned hymn writer. He wrote Amazing Grace. In 1807, when he was near his death, he wrote down a memory. He said, "My memory is almost gone, but I remember two things, that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior." We underestimate the power of God in our daily lives. I have a question for you now. Do fears and shame, hate, or loneliness overwhelm that peace of God that should be right here in our heart? That's a question to ponder. Remember, as believers in Christ, peace is within our very grasp. God is always pursuing us, offering us incredible peace. Remember, a peace that passeth all understanding. God offers peace in the dark times of our lives. We all have dark times. Are you assailed by poor health, uncertainties of life, fear of the future? God offers us tranquility. Go back to the Old Testament and think of David. He was pursued by Saul. Remember that? His life was at risk every day, yet he sheltered in the peace of the sea. David broke those chains of darkness by worshiping God through each and every difficulty. God offers us peace when we feel captive. Do you feel trapped by circumstances or situations or even habits? Don't allow them to define your life. Daniel was trapped. He was trapped in a foreign country, Babylon. He was also trapped in a lion's den. Yet he worshiped God through his circumstances. God offers us a common in any situation. When we focus on him alone, Daniel's serenity was the result of his continual worship of God. God offers peace in the battle. Are you impatient, fearful, wounded by life? Feel betrayed? Feel beaten down? Are you weary of life's battles sometimes? Hang tightly to God's promises. He alone is our Savior. Go back again to Moses in the Old Testament. He was in the wilderness. He got so frustrated with those Israelites. You read about it and you go, how could he do it? Yet Moses was obedient. His obedience was a form of worship to God. And great things came from that. God offers peace in the chaos of life. Do you feel like you have no direction? Sometimes do you feel like you're helpless, worried, wondering where to go or what to do? Take courage. Think about Queen Esther. She saved the entire Jewish nation through her obedience and courage in one selfless act. She trusted God and stepped out in faith at the risk of her own life. Like for her, God promises to be our pathmaker, our power when we're weak. He's our rescue, and he's standing right beside us in our confusion. His spirit lives within us. Safe. Safe in God. God promises us safety through any circumstance. He has condescended to come into our suffering and to show us a way through. Complete safety in his almighty power. Complete peace. No matter how or what you feel. Don't allow feelings to rule you. Remember, you are a child of Almighty God. Instead, laser focus on our Father's showed promises that come to us in the Bible. Those promises are wonderful. They're a wonderful gift from him to us. They're true and faithful. In doing this, we demonstrate real worship, and we begin to taste the wonders of God's peace. Like me in my Father's arms about 60 years ago, God will faithfully carry you through life's seemingly impossible situations. So go ahead and take that risk, like Queen Esther did. Step out in faith and watch Jesus, the Prince of Peace, keep his promises in your life.
Pastor, use a different mic if you would, because that mic's acting up.
Okay, we will use this mic. So, as Becky comes then to finish our time together this morning, can you tell what is on my tie? Now, if you already know, don't yell it out. Who can tell what's on my tie from where they're sitting? And Ray can, because he's seen it before. And how many of you remember what's on my tie? Annika does. What is it, Annika? It is Goofy. I've got all kinds of Goofies on my tie. Now, the story of my tie is that I try to wear it every Christmas. Sometimes I forget. But the story of this tie is that in my previous church, we had a family. And then the family had little girls, and so every year the little girls could buy a teacher or their pastor or someone a gift. And so those little girls went to the store and they said, "This is the tie that a pastor would like to wear at church." And so they gave it to me, and I accepted it. Why? Because they meant it in love. And it is one of my favorite ties. Now, of course, I don't wear it very often, because every time I wear it, I have to explain why I'm wearing it, especially up here. I don't generally wear goofy ties to preach in. Well, yes, I do, but not this kind of goofy tie. I could have, when those girls handed it to me, looked at it and said, "Wow, that is really ugly. I don't want this tie," and thrown it aside. I could have done that. Didn't want to, but I didn't. When God's Son gave us his best gift, there in the manger, it's up to us. Say, "I want it," or "I don't want it." It's not mine until I accept it. When I say, "I don't want that gift," I'm hurting his feelings just like I could have hurt those girls' feelings. And so today, as we think about Christmas, then we need to remember that this is God's gift to us. Becky, will you share with us?
Please be aware, I've never sang in front of anybody. I'm going to sing a song in a foreign language, and then you can all join me in English after. The song was first sang 201 years ago on Christmas Eve in Austria.
Your son is a miracle and does miracles in people's lives and hearts. But your word, like your son, teaches us amazing things. But your word, like your son, is from the mighty God. for us. That your word, like your son, brings us peace. This world that we're going through is not a place of peace. We watch the arguing every evening on the television. We listen to the arguing on the radio. Sometimes we argue every day from our families. Heavenly Father, you came to bring us peace. You sent your Son, and you came through the Holy Spirit to give us peace by living in our hearts, teaching us a better way, and teaching us to rejoice and to worship. You came to give Daniel peace in the lion's den, and Paul peace in prison, us peace in our jobs, in our illness, in our homes, in our rest home, in our old age, in our singleness, in those things, our bills, those things that we are helpless against. You came to give us peace through worship, through a relationship, through a friendship. Heavenly Father, we praise your name. We lift you on high. We acknowledge our smallness, and we turn to you today, thanking you for being so big. Pray in Christ's name.